Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk this morning with folks from Catholic Family Services about the wide variety of services that they provide. You might be fascinated to learn about some of them. I hope you will stick around for the interview. Jean Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Lenten Sunday. Brianna Wingen with the first and second reading, and Father Tim Smith with the Gospel.
A reading from the second book of Chronicles. In those days, all the princes of Judah, the priests, and the people added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations and polluting the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated to Jerusalem. Early and often did the Lord, the God of their fathers, send his messengers to them, for he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his warnings, and scoffed at his prophets, until the anger of the Lord against his people was so inflamed that there was no remedy. Their enemies burnt the house of God, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, set all its places afire, and destroyed its precious objects. Those who escaped the sword were carried captive to Babylon, where they became servants of the king of the Chaldeans and his sons until the kingdom of the Persians came to power. All this was to fulfill the word of the Lord, spoken by Jeremiah, until the land has retrieved its lost Sabbaths, during all the time it lies waste, it shall have rest, while 70 years are fulfilled. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord inspired King Cyrus of Persia to issue this proclamation throughout his kingdom, both by word of mouth and in writing. Thus says Cyrus, the king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord, the God of heaven, has given to me, and he has also charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever therefore among you belongs to any part of his people, let him go up, and may his God be with him. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he has for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance, that we should live in them. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, Lent brings an abundance of opportunities for prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, but it also brings many parishes to offer a weekly fish fry or other meals on Fridays through the penitential season. Those events are often tied to Stations of the Cross or other prayer opportunities as well. Recently, St. Joseph Parish in Grenville hosted one in a series of fish fry meals with raffles and a 50-50 drawing each night. The St. Joseph Parish fish fry meals happen every Friday during Lent. Father Brian Simon, pastor of St. Joseph Parish, shared that the fish fry is a big draw, not only for the parish and its parishioners, but for the entire region. Also in Lent, St. Lambert Parish in Sioux Falls depends upon the Knights of Columbus to coordinate their fish fry efforts, which are offered every other week through Lent. You can read and see more about those two parish fish fry efforts in the March edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, 4 in 10 U.S. Catholics say that half or more of religiously based attacks around the world are directed at Christians and believe Christian persecution is extremely severe in North Korea, Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Pakistan. At the same time, when asked to rank their concerns about global issues, U.S. Catholics put Christian persecution last as the issue they are most concerned about. At the top of the list of global concerns for the largest majority were human trafficking at 86%, poverty also at 86%. Next in line were climate change, where 74% they were extremely concerned, and the refugee crisis also at 74%. Then came Christian persecution at 69%, saying it was a top concern. U.S. Catholics were asked for their views on global Christian persecution in a national survey conducted by the Pontifical Foundation Aid to the Church in Need, USA, based in New York City, and McLaughlin and Associates, a national survey research company. According to Aid to the Church in Need, USA, the survey aimed to measure how aware that is, U.S. Catholics are of Christian persecution around the world, the countries and regions where they consider Christians the most severely persecuted, and specific measures and policies they want the U.S. and other Western governments to pursue to combat that. Hispanic Catholics are being called to be the ecclesial voice and conscience of the church in the U.S., said Hoffman Ospino, a leading expert on the intersection of Catholicism and Latino culture. When the Hispanic Catholic community speaks, the church speaks, he told participants in Phoenix there for the Southwestern Regional event that they had there. The Colombian Board Ospino, the final keynote speaker at the gathering, is an associate professor of theology and religious education at Boston College. He is a member of the leadership team for the U.S. Catholic Church's fifth National Encuentro, or V Encuentro, to be held September 20th through the 23rd in Grapevine, Texas. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by folks from Catholic Family Services, Christy Vanderwoody and Justin Phelan, who are here to help us understand a bit about what's available to help people. And both Christy and Justin, thank you for taking some time and joining us today.
Thanks for having us, Jerry.
Thank you.
I'm going to start with Justin, a little bit newer to the business with us, although you have a rich background of working in a variety of mental health and counseling settings, and really grateful to have you with us at Catholic Family Services. I know you've been soaking a lot in, kind of learning about what it is that we try to do at Catholic Family Services, and also beginning, of course, to do the work yourself. How have you found that, and how are you feeling about where we're at?
I think that's a great question for a program like this. And the important thing to me is that I was directed here by the Holy Spirit, and I was really ready for that. Driving down 49th Street, and something told me to come here, and the rest is history. But I was really guided here by the Holy Spirit, and it's a good fit for me. The mission is fantastic for me personally. Hope is a really important concept in my life, and in my work, probably more so in my work than in my life. But I really think, focusing on hope, sometimes people don't show up with hope. And you have to have that as a clinician. You have to listen to their story that is generally about being hopeless,
mm-hmm.
And find an ounce of hope in that story and help them to live with that. And I love it. I love that challenge. So from that perspective, there's a lot to learn at CFS. And great people to work with. I couldn't say that enough. Absolutely fantastic people. So I'm really happy to be here doing this work, but it's not without its challenges.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, Christy, obviously you've been around for a while. You've been on the program lots of times through the years, particularly, of course, always talking about the adoption work and the pregnancy counseling that you do. That continues to be, I think, the primary thrust of what you're working at.
Correct. It does. Working with the adoption and working with our couples and our birth parents is that number one for me. But having the ability to do a lot of our other programs and our grief work through the center is also another, I guess, great avenue to be able to focus on and to put those skills to use. And, you know, I want to say thanks to having Justin with us here, and he's coming into a group of women downstairs, and he's he's fitting in with us really good. It's nice. So I know I and they appreciate that, knowing that you're...
I know how to follow directions. Yeah.
He fits in well. It's good. It's nice having him around.
We should talk about kind of the three areas that Catholic Family Services really focuses on. And then, of course, is number one, counseling. Number two, adoption program. And number three, the Center for Grief and Loss. And correct. A lot of the programming that CFS does revolves around that Center for Grief and Loss. And we should mention also the Gift of Hope concert coming up, where we get a chance to really kind of highlight some of this, and also to get great sponsorship and support from a lot of different people for the work that Catholic Family Services does. It really helps us to do what we need to do to help people, and to use that sliding fee scale so people can get the services they need without breaking the bank.
It's a great point. You know, the people come to us, not always when they're broken, but a lot of times when they're broken, and they may not have any resources. And one of the things that really appealed to me prior to coming here was, you know, I knew that we're here to serve people in a capacity that not everyone gets the luxury to do. And, you know, I don't personally worry about the money, but it's nice to know that we are a service for people when they need it. And I think they appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
We recently finished up grieving the loss of a spouse, and I was amazed at a couple of things. The first is how full the group was. It was full.
Mm-hmm.
And every single person that started, there were two people that dropped out early, but every other person finished. And that's a huge commitment from a time perspective and from an emotional perspective. And I was also... quite happy with the number of men that showed up and stuck out the group. I had a small group, and they had men in there, and they did a fantastic job. But the amount that these people learned and depended on each other and risked with their story was really amazing. And I don't know that they could have gotten that anywhere else than Catholic Family Services. That was really great to see. And that is a free program.
Mm-hmm.
So I was real happy to be part of that.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? It in the midst of the brokenness, you find the joy.
Yeah.
And helping people overcome some of those challenges. I know, Christy, you've talked about that so many times, mm-hmm. dealing with your birth moms, especially, you know, kind of helping them see that light and that there really is that sense of hope.
It's walking the walk with them. It's starting at the beginning with them and helping them to find their way to that, you know, in the adoption side, that final decision for those birth parents of whether they're going to parent or place, but to know that no matter what they choose and where they're going, there's somebody there with them. There's somebody who's got their back and on their side. And with our grief program, somebody who can help them just understand, you know, what is grief?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something I think that's big, is what is it? What are we talking about? And as Justin was talking about some of those adult programs, you know, we have programs for kids too. We actually are going to be starting one up in April and getting those kiddos in just to understand, you know, what is grief and what is that icky, yucky feeling that I don't have a word for,
mm-hmm.
and how do we define it?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I know sometimes people come and it's maybe what you would say the usual sort of problem, or, you know, they're struggling in their marriage, or they're, you know, they're feeling not well, or they're mm-hmm. feeling a little depressed, or they're, you know, dealing with some of that stuff. That's kind of the ongoing work, isn't it? That's the routine stuff that Catholic Family Services can help people with, and they ought to call if they need some help.
Correct.
We
can do that.
Yep.
And then there's these extra things that that as needs arise, this is what I love about Catholic Family Services. Those things, those routine things I was talking about, they go on. They go on all the time, and they're always available to people. And then, and I give a lot of credit to Dr. Marcy Moran for this, because she's got such a great vision of where are the gaps? Where are the things that aren't being covered? And I think that's what Catholic Family Services has done so well. It's kind of plug in to those holes, those gaps, and provide the services that really make a difference to people.
I think you're right. You know, there's a lot of providers in the Sioux Empire and on all of South Dakota, and we're just, you know, a handful of people here. But really the work that we're doing is important for our community and for our people. The thing that I really like about Catholic Family Services and that I think is important for listeners to really hear is the fact that we're really Christ-centered.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because we're the church and not just because we have priests that work here and not just because some of us go to church here, but really when you come into this structure, you feel that great sense of power that you might not feel standing right out in front. And I think that's the energy that each of us brings to the faith here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, and that takes nothing away from the professionalism.
No, not at all.
It's just an added component, yeah. I think, that makes the work even better.
I mean, I don't think any of us talk about, you know, the Lord Jesus in our counseling session, but, you know, he's all around you.
Yeah.
But from a professional standpoint, we aren't talking about those things. We're focused on the client problems and the problems they bring and helping them to get solutions that are workable for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about a couple of those extra things that are coming. Krista, you mentioned, and I want to talk about a little bit more, a pilot program that you guys did, gosh, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, working with families who are dealing with somebody who's incarcerated.
Yes.
And again, it's a kind of a need that became apparent. And now you're doing some follow-up work with that. I'm not sure if the specifics are set. But if you could talk about that a little bit.
Justin might know a little bit more for specifics, but I can kind of give a little background on that. And again, it goes back to Dr. Moran seeing the need that we had in our community, that as we focused on our loss programs, our grief programs of, you know, due to death, loss is more than death. And to reach outside of that to say, okay, what about these individuals who have a loved one who's incarcerated? And who's helping them to deal with that? Who's helping them to, you know, receive some education of, well, what does this mean and what's the outlook? What does it mean to all of a sudden have our loved one there one day and then gone the next and we can't visit and can't have that connection? So we did do a one-day visit, or kind of a one-day program initially just to kind of see what the community thought and is this somewhere we should go farther? And I'll kind of let Justin go on from there as to deciding that, yeah, we need to focus on providing this aspect to the community.
Well, thank you, Christy. As a self-disclosure, I will tell you that I spent 10 years providing mental health services in the South Dakota State Penitentiary and a couple years working in the jail in Sioux Falls. And, you know, people have a lot of need there. And so when I came here to CFS and I heard about this and Dr. Moran had said, you know, maybe we should do that again. And when she says that, you know, that's not really a request. You just better get busy and figure out how to do it.
Ah, there you go.
So I submitted a grant to the Sioux Falls Area Community Foundation, and we got a call back. And I am hopeful that we can resume that program probably in the spring, maybe May, for families of incarcerated individuals. Because when their loved ones go away, they don't have anywhere to turn to get the information and the support they need. So I'm optimistic that we'll get some interest that way because I think it's another largely underserved area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And another example I want to talk about a little bit is the Camp Sydney. That's just a beautiful story, of course, coming out of the work that gets done with kids. And you mentioned this, kids who are dealing with grief. This is a little bit, I guess, deeper, maybe coming at it from a more fun, you hope, sort of perspective with a summer camp.
Yeah, looking at a summer camp, our area was kind of the only area that didn't really have something set up as a grief camp. And we are very thankful to have Mary Weber on staff, who is phenomenal and working with the children as well. And she had the idea to bring up this camp of, you know, let's work with these kids who are grieving and give them a place to go. Mm-hmm. So what I find, what I like about the unique spin that I think we have is we're doing both kids and their parents. So we're really separating it to where those kiddos are coming in and getting some assistance one-on-one. And then we're also asking that they have a parent come in so that they can work with Dr. Moran and have a day program so that they can understand their grief and know what are things to look for and to know and be, a little bit more aware of.
That seems to make a lot of sense to me, too, because these folks are going to come together for a weekend, then they're going to go back home, right?
Correct.
And so if they've both had some assistance, they can work with each other when they get back home, I guess.
Yeah, yep, and that's a good way to look at it is if only one side kind of gets that education, the other side isn't quite knowing what's going on or what to expect and to be able to see it and, again, for these kids to have some fun. And when we work with those kids, play is a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they're going to learn. That's how they're going to understand and process it, because they are going to process it different from the adults.
And a great location.
Yes, we are going to be at Broomtree out in the, by Irene, South Dakota. And if you guys have not been out there, it is an amazing place just to go visit, wander around. But we've got the full camp scheduled for all of us. That way we can't misplace, lose, or have extra kids around. it's going to be good time.
So if somebody's hearing this morning and you think, well, I don't quite know what it all means, what Camp Sydney's all about, is there stuff on the website or what would they do to learn more?
There is. We have a webpage set up just for Camp Sydney with the brochure and flyer information and a little bit more on the page itself about who we're honoring and kind of why we're doing that and actually really what the camp is and why we're doing that. So there's that information there. We also do have a Facebook page under Catholic Family Services, and there's an event set up under that with Camp Sydney to receive information, which then will give you the link to the website as well, or even making a phone call into Catholic Family Services, whether it's me or sitting and waiting for Mary to one of us to be able to answer questions and just discuss. We can do really any way you feel comfortable.
And actually, we should probably mention all of the programs. Anything we've talked about this morning and things that we don't get to this morning, you can find information about that on the website. It's sfcatholic.org/CFS, and that'll take you to all the information that Catholic Family Services is working on these days. Before we started this morning, we were talking a little bit about how sometimes people get sideways with things and they don't quite know what to do or where to go with them. Sometimes social media becomes a place where people try to air out their differences. And I'm thinking, Justin, that's probably not the best way to go about it.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Jerry. A lot of times when people have conflict or strife or loss in their life, it feels as if a bomb went off. And if you can just imagine the devastation of that in a person's mind, they tend to not make the best choices. They're just really out of sorts. And so there's a lot of things that people typically do that aren't very helpful, and that would be things like using social media to talk about their problem. That really opens them up to the public. Drinking too much and sleeping too much and all of those things. But really getting help is fairly simple if you think about it. If your toe hurt and you couldn't remedy yourself at home, well, you would go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And, mental health first aid is the same way. It's just that there is a bit of a stigma in our society, and that's why we don't go. But the problems tend to get bigger and multiply, and they really grow out of control, and they create other problems. So, really the sage advice is if you have a problem, call someone. Call Catholic Family Services or any other service provider in the area, and get connected with a professional who can help you work through these problems, give you some tools, give you some direction. It's all confidential. It's all highly professional. I don't care who you go to. But don't do this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that you can go to a store and buy a manual and, you know, you can't. Or you could try, but it would take you a very long time. Seek professional help. There's no shame in doing that. You'll feel a whole lot better.
Yeah. And I think sometimes those of us maybe that witness this kind of stuff in other people, we don't quite know what to do either. I mean, is it appropriate for us to sometimes suggest it to another person that maybe they need some help?
You can offer that suggestion in a very casual way simply by saying, you know, I've noticed that you just haven't been yourself lately. And I've noticed that several times over the last 2 months. Have you thought about getting some help? Mm-hmm. And if they say no, then you need to be prepared for that and maybe offer them two or three suggestions of where they can go to get that help.
Yeah.
If they say they're getting help, you know, show them encouragement for doing that and praise them for doing that. But really, help is not that difficult to get. However, the biggest barrier is that initial call.
Mm-hmm. And the stigma. Don't you? I think the stigma is still there. And Christy, I know you've talked about that too with some of your birth moms.
That
making that first call is often the toughest thing.
The hardest step is making that first call, whether it's the pregnancy side or the counseling side. And I think something that sometimes with counseling that we need to remember is it's not a lifelong process then. You know, it's not going to be all of a sudden, okay, well, if I make a call and I go in to see a counselor, I'm going to have to be there every week for the rest of my life.
Right.
Sometimes you're coming in for maybe one or two visits, you know, and that's just enough of what you needed to be able to continue going forward in life. Or, you know, when you think of pregnancy counseling, we work during the duration of the pregnancy. And after that, it's really kind of open to those birth parents if they want to call back and say, hey, I just need a, you know, I need someone to talk to. I need some, what we've kind of considered with what some of my birth parents is we need some couch time.
Yeah.
We just need to sit and chat, whether it's about anything to do with the placement, anything. Just I need someone who understands, who gets it, and who's going to listen to me.
It's great to chat with you guys this morning. Justin Phelan and Christy Vandy Woody from Catholic Family Services. Anything we've talked about this morning, you can find information on the website. Again, it's sfcatholic.org. /CFS, or you can call the 800 number, 800-700-7867, and ask for these guys. They'll be happy to chat with you again. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks for having us, Jerry.
Well, Gene, we hope we didn't lose any listeners this morning. Hopefully everybody sprung ahead, got their clocks changed last night.
That's easy to miss, and a lot of people were talking about it this week, but it's always something you got to zero in on.
Yeah, so double-check that. If you are hearing the program, make sure you did get your clock adjusted. I appreciated your story about fish fries. I know that a lot of parishes link that with Stations of the Cross and do those kind of Lenten kind of practices.
And there's plenty of opportunity for that still ahead. Upcoming, we talked about St. Stephen in Grenville, and St. Lambert, they both have them this coming Friday, but also St. George Parish in Hartford, and there are probably many more across the diocese should check on.
There are.
But it is a great point that you made, that it is linked to prayer opportunities, so it's a good opportunity to go and eat supper and then pray.
Yep. Dive into Lent. If you haven't already done it, dive into Lent. There's lots of ways to do it and take advantage of this beautiful season. That's our time for Catholic Views. We'll be back next Sunday.